good to learn to wait on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And to let him have his way in our lives.
Yeah.
Praise his wonderful name. So it's wonderful. God is at work.
Yes.
You know, it might seem tough at the moment, but God is at work.
That means we're doing.
So we're just
achieving.
Got to keep pressing in and pushing forward.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Today, I've entitled my message today as Lessons in Faith.
Amen.
Lessons in Faith. And I want to start off with a statement. All things are possible.
Amen.
All things are possible. Praise God. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And we shall be reading from verses 14 through to verse 21. That's Matthew 17, verses 14 through to 21.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to brush up on the Word of God and what the gospel means and what salvation means, just read the book of Matthew. Just read the book of Matthew. It's all in there. And it will do you good. There are miracles, there are great teachings from the Lord Jesus, and he just directs his disciples to move forward, and it's tremendous. The full gospel is in there, how to pray and so on. It's just a tremendous, tremendous book. And so Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through to 21, and it says this, and when they came to a multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. And he often falls onto the fire and often into the water. And I have brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief and the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you.
Mm.
That's one rendering of the story. I want you just as well to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And again, verse 14 through to verse 29. This is Mark's rendering of the story. And they're both important. They just have slight additions in one to the other. And we all see things at times and we miss things, don't we? And so it's good to hear the account from both of these men.
Yeah.
And so Mark chapter 9 and verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing? And then one of the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son, who is a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes so rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, he immediately, the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown them both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come unto the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? So Jesus said unto him, this kind cometh out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Praise God. The Lord is well able, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our situations are, that's God it. Is able.
There's
no ifs. So just coming to bring us now to a point, in verse 17, you find there in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus is somewhat frustrated with his disciples. Jesus has just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, where he'd taken James and John and Peter up to the Mount, and they had seen Jesus transfigured. And so he's coming down from that experience. And he comes down to the rest of the disciples, and they're struggling to do what they were called to do. Now, remember earlier on in Matthew, Jesus had already given them the power and the authority in Matthew 16 to over demons, over sickness and over disease. And he sent them out and they were healing the sick. So they were already practicing this. And yet suddenly we come to this situation where there is this young boy. Whether they were overawed by the state that this young boy looked at, because if this demonic force had been casting him into the fire and he was burned, maybe his face and his part of his body was disfigured by burns, etc. And so the sight of him could take them by surprise and maybe knock them off balance a little bit and just cause them to, you know, question themselves, how can we deal with this? But it's not about how can they deal with this, it's how can God deal with this.
Amen.
And that's the thing that we need to watch. So often we look at things and we say, I cannot do this. And that's true. It's true. It's right. We can't. But with Christ, we can. And this is what we're going to go through today. So in verse 17, Jesus turns round to his disciples and says, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? These are questions. It's a bit, I think he's probably exasperated at this point in time with them. How long, you know, shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? You know, come on, guys, get it together. You see, Jesus knows his timetable.
Yeah.
He knows that there is a time coming, which is not too distant, that he is going to believe him. And he had spent over 12 months teaching and encouraging and sharing it with his disciples and equipping them for that point of time when he would leave the earth and leave the work of the kingdom in the hands of the disciples, the disciplined followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's frustrated to some degree, I guess, by this. He'd just come down from this tremendous experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, where he'd been manifested in the presence of God Almighty, when the voice of his Father came down. the very presence of God. And so for you and I, it's important to realize that even Jesus got frustrated. And, you know, he was in that, he was human in one sense, yet God in the other sense. But his desperation was that he wanted you and I to be active and to be going proactive and moving forward in the things of God. He wants you to be equipped in the things of God. And I want us to learn a lessons through this story, this actual happening of what was going on at this time. So Jesus then, sort of having asked them why and how long, and, you know, is this going to go on? When are you going to get it together, guys? Probably will be another way of putting it. Mm-hmm. When are you going to get this? When are you going to get this together and really respond and begin to act like you have been ordained? When are you going to act like that anointing that has been being placed upon you? When are you going to be that? And to be honest, that's a word to each and every one of us.
Absolutely.
When are you going to be like he has called you to be? When are you going to act like he has called you to act? I can't do it for you. Daniel can't do it for you. None of us can do it for you. We can point you. We can encourage you. We can share with you. We can teach, this, which is what Jesus was doing. But having done all the teaching, it then comes to the point where you and I have to then put this teaching into action. Steve and I, we teach people to ride motorcycles to a higher level, to a higher standard. And we have the people that join us are called associates, and we teach them riding skills to keep them safe and to give them the ability to recognize the signs of what is going on in front of them and behind them before it exactly happens, so that they build this safety bubble around them. And so we are doing this. And my associate sent me a message the other day and said he'd been to collect his motorbike from where it was in storage, and he brought it home. And he said to me, "It's a good job you are not riding behind me." He says, "Because you would have crucified me." He says, "You would have ripped me to shreds because of my riding." And the thing that I want to bring out of that is, if you don't practice, you become rusty, you become slow, you become lax, you become lazy. And so our faith, if we don't practice our faith, if we don't use our faith effectively, then we don't become skilled anymore with it. We become like infants. We become like babes, that we're unable to use it effectively for the work of the kingdom. Yeah. And so with our riding skills, I've not been on my motorcycle for months. I sat across the saddle the other day, having got it out of the garage, and I thought, feels a little strange. But yet, you know, it's like I'm longing to get out on it. But I know that I shall have to be very vigilant, that I know I shall have to talk to myself. I know that I shall have to ensure that I am getting myself up to speed, because I've not been able to do it. But you see, as believers, we should be daily working out our own salvation. Daily, we should be just practicing our faith in Jesus Christ. Last night, outside here, there were a number of cars, and there were these little racer guys, and they'd all been out for a walk somewhere to Sprotbrook Quarry, which is a fair walk, and they'd come back, and it was late at night, dark, and the engines were running. And so I went out to see what's going off, because there's all these little cars with these massively noisy exhausts. You know, there's no power, but plenty noise. That's a bit like the devil, that, you know. Yeah. There's no power in him, but there is plenty noise. And if you listen to the noise that comes from the devil, he will cause you to believe that he's stronger and more powerful than what the Lord Jesus is in you. And so I went out, and in the end, we got chatting to them, and we were sharing the gospel with some of them. So we turned the opportunity around, and we began to share Jesus. What an opportunity. In fact, we said to them, you know, as soon as lockdown's off, come in for a coffee. Come and see us for a coffee. We will. I thought, great, you know.
But they were very respectful.
They were respectful. They were
very polite.
Yeah, they were. And so it was lovely to see that as well. But we took the opportunity to share Jesus. And so constantly we need to be practicing our faith. Constantly we need to be using our faith to stir ourselves up, because God is preparing us. We're coming out of lockdown.
Amen.
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 Do you believe that?
Yes.
We're coming out of lockdown. We're coming, and we're coming out, and we're being set free. We're coming out to do the work of the kingdom. We're coming out to change people's lives. We're coming out to bring people to Christ, and we're coming out to empower people in the things of the kingdom of God.
They'll need it.
And we need to be empowered. We need to be made ready. So don't let this time slip by and become lax and lazy and think, oh, it'll be okay, you know, I'm not going to be meeting anyone, I'm not going to be doing much, so I'll just chill and I'll just relax and watch TV and just become a couch potato. No, I must be about my Father's business, right? Hallelujah. And my Father is God. So, guys, come on and you know, stir up. God wants you to stir up the gifts that Jesus is imparting into each and every one of us. And so you might say, well, I don't know what my gifts are. Well, you get to church and we'll help you find your gifts.
We'll
show you your giftings that God has placed within you. Because each and every one of us has giftings that God, when he called us into the kingdom, gave to us to use for the effective work of the kingdom of God, for life-changing circumstances and situations for people. And that's not part of a message. So praise God. We'll move back into the message. Hallelujah. Glory. Relevant. Praise his wonderful name. And so we find that Jesus is saying, I can't believe it. And he's saying, can you imagine the fact that he knows that he's going to the cross at some stage soon. You know, if you and I would realize that any problems we have, any difficulties that we face today, we can take them to the foot of the cross.
Amen.
There's victory in Jesus.
Yeah.
Take them to the foot of the cross, and there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Jesus says, to, you know, as we read through this story, it talks about unbelief. What does unbelief mean? It means faithlessness or uncertainty, distrust, the lack of acknowledgement of the Christ. You know, when we really understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is, we'll have a greater understanding of the power and the authority that was given to him, and also the power and the authority that he has invested in his disciples, in you. We have a, you know, we're in that situation where we're having a lack of confidence in Christ. You might say, oh, well, it's not lack of confidence in Christ, it's lack of confidence in me. Well, let me tell you this. If Christ is in you, there should be no lack of confidence. I'm trusting Jesus all along the way, because he grows more precious through each passing day. And we need to trust Christ. You know, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. It says this. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in some whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13 says this, and we all know this one, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all these things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul is saying in verses 11 and 12, no matter what state I've been in, no matter what state I have gone through, I've been in want, I've had abundance, I've had problems, I've been at ease, He says, no matter what the circumstance I've lived in, I've been shipwrecked, I've been locked up in prison, I've been beaten, I've been abused. And Paul says, no matter what circumstance I'm in, he says, I know I can do all these things.
Amen.
Through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, Christ will strengthen you and he will take you through mm-hmm. every circumstance, every situation, and he will cause you to come out in victory.
Amen.
You see, the end of the cross is victory. It is not defeat. Jesus' death was not a defeat. Jesus, the death of Christ, was victory.
Yeah.
For you and for me. And so Paul is saying here, I can go through all these things with Christ because it's him that strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we keep our relationship strong with the Lord, we will find yeah. he's strengthening us. He was helping us. He's causing us to move forward step by step. But our eyes need to be fixed upon the Christ.
Amen.
Not on the circumstances,
no.
not on the situations, but upon the Christ. Because today, as many of you said, what a beautiful day it is. You want to be out. You want to be out and about. Tomorrow, if it's cold and it's throwing it down with rain and it's snowing, you're going to be saying, oh, what an awful grey day it is. I want to stay in and sit by the fire, don't you? And I don't feel like going out. It makes you feel miserable. But today I'm happy because the sun's shining. Well, let me tell you, it's not about happiness. It's not about sadness. It's about the joy of the Lord
Amen.
That resides within us. And the joy of the Lord that resides within us is not governed by what the weather's like today or tomorrow. It is governed by what is going on inside our lives. It is governed by the word of God in our life. Today, our confidence needs to be in the word of God, not in the words of mere men. You know, you hear on the news various reports of what's happening here and there and how things they think will go. Let us look to the word of God. Let us look at the promise of the word of God. You know, Paul, in one of Paul's scriptures, it talks about, I was writing this the other day to somebody, it talks about the fact of if you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you, right? And the reason that scripture came to mind is was somebody was asking me and saying to me, should I take this vaccine or not? So it's a good question, and in one sense it is up to you, but the question was asked because of fear was resident within their question. And you know, if we as disciples are doing what we feel to be the right thing and moving forward in God, his word says, Paul says, if you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. Right now, if there's anything in this injection that is ungodly, that is against us, right? Then let's stand on the promise of the word of God that says no deadly thing shall harm us, right? You know, for those that have taken the vaccine, you've taken it in all respect and honesty. It's, you know, the word tells us to honor those who have the rule over us. They've made this command, but let me tell you this, if they've made something that is against God, and it's given to us, then God then will protect us because we are focused on God. We're not focused on the world because I'm not taking a vaccine out of fear.
No.
I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing on the promises of God. Mm-hmm. And Paul, you know, and Paul, and this is not my message, by the way. And Paul says, you know, let no deadly thing can harm us.
Mm-hmm.
And come on, church.
Yeah.
Let's let that be a living, moving, breathing activity within our very lives, pushing forward. So let us stand on the words of God. Don't stand on the words of men. It's not of ourselves, but it is Christ, the word of God. Our faith should stand on the word of God. It doesn't stand on feelings and on circumstances, but only on the word of God. Mm-hmm. It is not how I feel today. I'm going to be honest with you. I woke up this morning. I felt okay. Partway through the day, I was not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
What do I stand on? I stand on the word of God. Mm-hmm. And then when I come online, I was feeling a little bit, still a little bit off. But, you know, as I begin to worship the Lord, as I begin to share the word, the anointing comes down, and that anointing breaks the yoke of sickness and disease. That anointing sets the captives free. Lord, set us all free, I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, let us be a people that are anointed with such a power and a presence that, Lord, sickness, when it seeks to take a grip of us, it just collapses around us and just has no way of being able to take hold of us in any shape or form. Hallelujah. Woo. Because that is what the word says. So praise God, stand on the word, stand on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand on the promises of the word. Don't stand on your feelings, because your feelings will crumble, your feelings will collapse, your feelings will change as circumstances around you change.
Yeah.
And you've all gone through different feelings. Yeah. You've all gone through different circumstances. Mm-hmm. Some people turn to alcohol because of the way they're feeling. Some people turn to drugs because of the way that they're feeling. Some people turn to gambling because of the way that they're feeling. Well, let me tell you this, they are not the answers. But when you turn to Jesus, that is the answer for every feeling, every situation, and every circumstance. When you hand your life over to Christ, then things will change.
They will.
They won't necessarily change overnight, because it's a process that has to begin to go on in you. God's already changed it when you came into relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind has not changed. Your habits in your mind have not yet changed, but God is in the process of changing those as you stand with him and stand on the word of God. So here we find, back to Matthew chapter 17, we find that suddenly Jesus demonstrates his authority by commanding them, bring him to me, bring that boy to me. And you see, it's about having faith in Christ that enables those to do all those things, and those things which the Lord has given us to do. So when God is calling us to do things, everything is about the Christ in us. I can do all things through Christ. I can stand all things through Christ. I can go through every circumstance, every situation, because of Christ. That's the statement.
Yeah.
Because of Christ. That's the line. That's the place you look at. Because of Christ, I can do this. Because of Christ, I can endure this. Because of Christ, I'm equipped to do this. That's what it means when Paul was, you know, people often misquote things like, I can do all things through Christ. No, you can't. You have to have Christ there. It is upon Christ that you can do all things.
Amen.
It is having Christ in, having that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that gives you the ability, because it's his ability that flows through each and every one of us that ministers into people's lives.
Amen.
I know there have been times when people have come to church, I've never met them before, and suddenly I'm speaking into their lives. I don't know a thing about them, and yet suddenly I'm speaking about their lives, and they're saying, yeah, that is exactly what has happened. Where did that come from? It came from Christ. He knows all things. He hears all things. He sees all things. And so then he reveals these things to his servants, that his servants might minister under the Christ anointing to set captives free. And that's what we do. And so we demonstrate that same authority that the Lord Jesus did with this young boy. Now let's have a look. We'll quote from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You and I have to have hope.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that again.
Yeah.
You and I have to have hope.
Yeah.
But faith is the substance. Faith and hope have to come together.
Mm-hmm.
Faith and hope, when they come together, then something happens.
Yeah.
That's what is going on. God is not, God never does things singularly. God always used, you know, the Word and the Spirit. And we move together. And so the Word of God moves through us. But we have to have hope for the future. We have to believe that God has got a plan for each and every one of us. And I do believe that. I believe that everybody that is listening in, whether it be later on over the internet, you are listening in. God has a call on your life. God has a place for you in the kingdom. God has a purpose for you right now on this earth to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it's about. You say, well, I can't do nothing. We know you can't. Neither can I. But when Christ flows through you, it becomes easy.
Yeah.
You know, I know I've stood in meetings and said things and thought, where did that come from? It's the Christ. It's the moving of the Holy Spirit flowing through your life. And I tell you what, that is one of the most exciting, most thrilling experiences when God moves through you. Mm. When you lay hands on the sick, and God moves through you and heals someone. And it's absolutely, it's mind-blowing. It is such an experience and such a joy that you and the Father are one. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Well, let me tell you this. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, then you and the Father are one.
Yeah.
Some of you have never even thought of that before, have you? What an exciting prospect that you and God are one.
Amen.
Together. And that God only wants to do good through you. And God wants to use you for his praise and for his glory. God moving through our lives, using us to bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what signs, wonders, and miracles, that's what they're doing. This is what the Lord Jesus wanted us to do. This is where he came and he equipped his disciples to do this. And so it is important that we catch a hold of this. This is not pie in the sky. This is not just for church leadership. This is for the body of Christ. This is for the laity.
Mm-hmm.
This is for each and every one of us. Ephesians 4, verse 12 talks about the equipping of the saints for their work in the ministry. Doesn't say their equipping of leadership for their work in ministry. It says for the equipping of the saints for their work in the ministry. God has intended through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit and through his word that each and every one of us would be equipped for work in the ministry of Jesus. God never intended there's going to be couch fillers. God never intended there's going to be just pew fillers. God intended that each and every one of us should be active in the work of God. Every one of us moving forward in the things of the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 9 and verse 22. The man says to Jesus, if you can do anything. What a question to ask the Son of God. Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And in verse 23, Jesus, well, let's read it how it probably was said. And Jesus exclaims, if you can.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say? He says, all things are possible for ones who believe. All things, not some things. All things are possible.
Amen.
For one who believes. And then in verse 24, the father cried out, I believe.
Amen.
Help my unbelief. And that's the issue. each and every one of us, we get trapped at times by our unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
God has no unbelief.
No.
God is full of faith. God is totally believing in himself.
Yeah.
He totally believed in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Totally believes in the Holy Spirit and the move of the Spirit in our lives. And so here we have this issue in our lives, this thing called unbelief. Oh, I don't believe I'm good enough. I don't believe I'm able to do this. I don't believe I'm equipped. I don't care what you believe. It's the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? And when the Word of God begins to be active in our lives, it begins to change our thinking.
Yeah.
And our thinking needs to change. We need to come to a point where we are believing the Word of God. And the Father cries out and says, I believe, help me with my unbelief. You see, there was a battle going on. He was being double-minded in one sense. You know, when we come to Christ, Christ wants us to be single-minded, wants us to focus on him and to believe that God is able to do great and mighty things. Then we move to verse 29, and he says there, and when he had come to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? Another question, why? Why could we not cast him out? You see, they'd faced something similar to this before. They dealt with situations previously. They'd gone out two by two as Jesus had sent them. And they dealt with issues and situations and circumstances. But they come to this point where suddenly, and they're asking Jesus, why could we not do it? Well, let's have a look at the answer from Jesus. So here comes the answer. What is the problem? Here comes his answer. In Matthew chapter 17, we look at Matthew chapter 17 and verse 19 for a start. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Wow, he's nailed it. It's not the devil that has the power. It's not the devil that's the problem. Jesus has just nailed the problem. Jesus has told his disciples what the problem was. They've said, why? What was the problem? Why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Wow. And you know, so often, so many, many times, that stops you and I going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was called into full-time ministry to leave industry and leave a good job, a well-paid job, I wrestled with a point of unbelief. Has God really called me? Is he going to keep me? And I had to pray that through to a point where I believed that no matter what was going to happen, he had given me promises. He had given grace promises, and we were going to stand on the promises. We were going to stand on his word to us, and we were not going to let unbelief, because unbelief was in the shape and the form of a calculator.
Mm-hmm.
That calculator said we would not have enough money to pay our mortgage, to stay where we are, and to carry on living our lives. And yet God had said, on the other hand, he was going to give us all that we had need of, and he was going to give us more than that we had need of.
Mm-hmm.
But the calculator said, you will be in the red. You will be in the minus. You will be in debt. Well, let me tell you this. Never, ever did that happen.
Never.
Not once. We never missed a mortgage payment. We never went without. God supplied. How he supplied, I've no idea, because when I did the maths, I was still in the red.
Mm-hmm.
But when I looked at everything, we were still in the black.
Mm-hmm.
God did something amazing.
Yeah.
So I want to just encourage you, don't let that unbelief stop you doing and moving forward in God.
Amen.
Don't let unbelief, don't let circumstances trap you, because that is exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to trap you into a circumstance. He wants to trap you into an ungodly relationship. He wants to trap you into a job that holds you back from doing the things of God. He wants to hold you from moving forward in God. You need to hear the voice of God. You need to act upon the promises of God, but you need to be in the Word of God to see those things moving.
Yeah.
If you want the blessings of God, you want the abundance of God in your life, the Word of God needs to be flowing in each and every one of our lives.
Amen.
The Word of God is that which is powerful. The Word of God is that which sets us free. The Word of God is that what keeps us.
It's the power force.
It's the force, the energy force for our lives. You might say, he keeps talking about the Word of God, the Word of God. Well, guess what? Jesus is the Word of God. And it is Jesus in our lives.
Amen.
And he's empowering. It is changing. It's dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to let that move in our lives. The problem today is that we're so listening to failures. We're so looking at the failures of our lives that we fail to see how confident God is in us, and how confident God is in what he does. We look at our own abilities. We look at our own gifts, and we say, we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, you're just the person I'm looking for.
Amen.
Because he said, I don't want somebody who can do it on their own, because God does not get the glory.
No.
God is looking for the people who feel they can't, but are willing to say, let God say, let me put in you my life's force. Let me put in you my spirit, and you will do all things, no matter what the circumstances are. You will come through in victory. You will come through in triumph. Hallelujah. So now we see what the problem is. Unbelief. The problem wasn't in the name of Jesus. The problem wasn't in the power of the name of Jesus. The problem wasn't in the power that Jesus had invested earlier on in his disciples. The problem was their unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
You see, unbelief will undermine faith.
Yeah.
The problem with unbelief brings fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear and unbelief ride together
mm-hmm.
to stop us. What if it doesn't happen? Won't you look a fool? What if you don't get it right? People say this about you, and then we're fearful for our reputation. The Word tells us we're out of no reputation.
Mm-mm.
So there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. And so we say, Lord, help us in our unbelief. And so we find there that the authority that Jesus has invested in us is so important. You know, the disciples, maybe they got to a point where they'd been healing the sick, they'd been doing so many miracles, they'd seen the power of the name of Jesus flowing as they, well, Jesus even wasn't there. Maybe they'd come a little bit complacent.
Mm.
Maybe they just were taking things for granted, and maybe they weren't spending time and waiting on God and trying to listen to what Jesus was saying and put it into practice. Maybe they came a little bit self-confident. Maybe they were just riding on the wave of a few successes. It's not what we do. Each day is a new day.
Mm-hmm.
Each experience is a new experience. And each day needs a fresh infilling of God in our lives. Each day needs a fresh outpouring of the Spirit in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, spend time and just begin to speak in tongues and let the Spirit of God fill you to overflowing. Spend time and wait on his presence. Allow him to be the Lord of all things. You might say, well, time's running out. No, time's not running out. Time is in God's hands. And the thing that we have to remember is that our times are in his hands. And if we are determined and willing to fulfill our time in the hands of God, then let God begin to move in power. Let God begin to flow through our lives in power. And We will touch people's lives. Mm. We need to be letting our relationship with the Lord grow. Don't let it slip. By not being in the Word of God, you let that relationship slip. We eat at least three times a day, don't we?
Yeah.
How many times do we let the Word of God? How many times do we partake of that Word of God and let that Word of God? How many times do we talk to God in a day? It's about relationship. Relationship is about communication. Relationship is about being together. And so it is important that we keep our strong relationship with the Lord Jesus. Don't be complacent with that relationship that you have with the Lord. Let the fire burn.
Amen.
Let the fire burn. You know, when you take a coal, we were in a coal mining area, when you take the coal out of the fire and you put one to one side on its own, what happens to it? The brightness, the flame begins to go out. Mm-hmm. But yet all the others are still alive and burning, and the fire burns strong. And that can happen to us when we remove ourselves from the church, when we remove ourselves from relationship in God, our flame begins to go out, our fire dies. But you know, the moment that you put yourself back into that relationship, the moment that coal goes back, that dead coal goes back into the fire, suddenly it begins to be enthused, it begins to glow, it begins to burn with the rest of the coals that are in there. And you know, when we're together, we glow with the anointing of God. We flow with the anointing of God. You know, the word talks where two or three are gathered together in my name. And this is it, we're to be in together in that name of Jesus, that name which is above every name works within our lives and changing us. It's about developing a deeper relationship with Father God. He sent Jesus for the very purpose that you and I will be able to develop a deep relationship with Father God.
Mm-hmm.
Father God does not have a spirit of condemnation over us, but Father God has a love for each and every one of his children. And so it is important that we realize that. And so we need to be daily feeding ourselves on the Word of God, daily feeding on the Holy Spirit, daily communicating with our Heavenly Father, daily being filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And verse 20 says this. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith,
amen,
the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there,
amen,
and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Wow. This is what relationship does with the Father. It allows you to be a mountain-moving believer.
Amen.
Whatever the mountain is that is standing in front of you, whatever the mountain that is seeking to obstruct you, to hold you back, speak to that mountain through the words of God. Speak, let the Spirit of God flow in each and every one of you. And let the power of God move through you. You know, some of us can say, well, I've been a Christian a long time. I've done this, I've done that. I know this, I know that. And I've been here, I've been there. Well, guess what? None of that counts.
No.
It's about today.
Yeah.
And something, as I was just pondering over this word, something popped up, a little analogy. When we started working on the building, once we bought the building in Intake, we began to drill holes in the brickwork. These are engineering bricks. They're a nightmare. And I was pulling drill bits out of the brickwork and they were glowing red and there were bits of the drill missing. That's what it was like. That's how hard I was pushing. I was 6 meters up a ladder, breaking into a sweat for 5 minutes, trying to drill one hole. Daniel, I could see him laughing, but it's true, isn't it, Daniel? I came down lathered, you know, and you wouldn't dare touch the drill bit. You know, you were boiling water with it. You know, you didn't have to put the kettle on, just boil the water with the drill bit.
Mm.
And after a day or two of trying this, I just said, this is not good enough. And I realized that the drill, although many years ago when I brought it, was a fairly expensive semi-industrial drill, had become tired.
Mm.
The impact of the hammer drill had lessened and it was beginning to wear. So I made a big decision and I invested into an SDS.
Mm-hmm.
Impact drill. The next day when I went up the ladder with this big drill in my hand and began to push, it went through as if it was just like going through warm butter. I'm like, wow, you know, this was it. We had arrived. We had got new equipment. Yeah, and God wants to give you the new thing.
Amen.
That will deal with circumstances and situations as they are now.
Mm.
We've been building this platform. We've done out the office. You know, we still would have been putting screws in the office wall if we had not invested in an impact screwdriver.
Mm-mm.
Man, that thing puts screws in like you've never seen. I mean, and in they go. If we were still doing this, we would have had blisters. We would have been, our hands would be in a state, our wrists would be in a state, and we still would not got the plasterboard on the wall yet. But that job's done. We've moved on.
Mm.
Even now, that impact screwdriver is working so hard. Sometimes you get hold of it and it is hot. Isn't that right, Steve? You know, but with the right equipment, you can do the job.
Yeah.
God wants to invest in you right now.
Amen.
The right equipment.
Amen.
For works of service, to equip you for the kingdom of God, to set you on the pathway and to bring you into great victory through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And so it is important that you and I begin to realize this. And so as we move forward together, as we encourage you and seek to teach you in the kingdom of God, to teach you the word of God. You know, so often there's been so much rubbish teached. There's been so much fear and negativity that has been taught in church life. People say to me, you're so upbeat, you're so positive, you're so... And it's like, yeah, I may be that way. But because I know my God.
Amen.
And I know he's positive. I know God is upbeat. I know God, this situation of this coronavirus did not take God by surprise.
No.
And he has a plan for his church. He has a purpose for his church. And he is moving us forward.
Mm.
And so I am not in despair. I'm not distressed by it.
No.
Because my Heavenly Father's upbeat and I'm
Amen.
Going to stay upbeat because this is the Christ that dwells in me is the same Christ that lived and died and rose again on that third day and that we're born into a new life in the things of the kingdom of God. So I want to encourage you, please invest your time in the word of God. I invested money into tools and it has allowed me to complete a job.
Mm.
And it has allowed me to share those tools with others so that they could assist and complete that work with me. And so invest your time in the word of God. The word of a God is live. The word of God is there. It's changing. It is forming each and every one of us as we daily walk with the Lord. And as circumstances around us change, so God changes us too, that we can deal with that situation, we can deal with that circumstances, and we can bring the victory in time and time again. You know, David was a mighty warrior, and he went out to so many battles. And if you remember one time, he came back to their village, their camp, and suddenly found that the enemy had snuck in behind them and stolen all their goods, stolen their wives, stolen their children, and had run off. And you know, the men suddenly were so desperate and despondent, they turned on David and they were about to stone him. They wanted this, you know, it's his fault, blame him. We always look for somebody to blame, don't we? But it says David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Amen.
He sought God.
Mm.
He sought God. People seek God.
Amen.
He sought God and he said, God, what shall I do? And God said, go and pursue.
Mm-hmm.
Go and pursue. It says, and David recovered it all.
Amen.
David recovered it all. Church, God wants a glorious bride. God intends that we recover all.
Amen.
Those that are lost, going to a lost eternity, God wants us to be there, recovering them all, plundering mm-hmm. hell, populating heaven.
Amen.
Being born again is not about sitting around and then just doing nothing for the rest of your life. It is about being a doer of the word. It is about being fully equipped as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to works of service that we might glorify the Lord. Don't lose sight of the word. Don't lose sight of Jesus. Don't lose sight of the great commission, which is to go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons in my name. Are you going to do that?
Amen.
Are you going to be the people? What's the problem? Walk in faith. Trust him. Don't have Jesus asking the question, how long shall I have to put up with this? Let's hear those words from the Lord Jesus. Well done. Good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
Enter into the joy.
Mm-hmm.
Of your Lord. God's joyful. And he says, come on, enter into my joy. Enter into my fullness. That's the calling. That's his appointing for each and every one of us. Lord bless you today. Don't let unbelief hold you back.
No.
Turn to the word. Drive out unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And stand on the promises of God.
Yeah.
Knowing that he's faithful and true.
Mm-hmm.
And he will never let go of you.
Never.
Amen. The Lord bless you.